All right. Happy New Year again and welcome. We're going to have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing a hymn or two. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this first year of 2023. I pray your good hand upon us as we take this time in your presence. Please bless the service this morning. And for all those, Lord, that take the time out of what seems to be getting busier and busier lives, or at least filled up lives, Father, I pray that you would bless those souls too. For those that can't be out and would love to be out, Lord, I pray remembrance of Bible verses, of good old hymns, of old sermons, of times of fellowship. I pray, Lord, even a touch of your presence, Father, a hand on a shoulder or on a back, Lord, lifting and comforting. I pray especially for Steve at this time and for Pat. Pray your good hand upon them and lift them up, Lord. But most of all, Father, we pray your presence. We pray that the service would be acceptable in your sight, that you would bless the lifting up of our praises, not just to yourself, Lord, but to us too. The reading of your word, the preaching of your word, the tithes and the offerings, the fellowship, Lord, most of all, we covet your presence, your help and your strength, and your comfort, and Lord, just everything. Please bless this time, Father, I pray. Put your hand upon your servants, wherever they might be, preaching the full counsel of your word. Please restore the compromiser. Please lift up the backslider, Lord. In these darkest of dark days, I pray, Father, that we would shine brighter and brighter. We love you and praise you. Looking forward to singing these songs, Lord. Please bless us now. Be one of our number. Amen. 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 We will begin with number 16 in the wee black books. Number 16 is He Lifted Me. We'll remain seated, contrary to the type in the hymn. He lifted me. I start easy on you this morning.
From sinking sand, He lifted me.
have to stand for. It's in the big books. This one is stand up for Jesus. 413. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 413 in the big books. If you'd like to join us on our faith quest, we sing stand up for Jesus. If you're not able, just remain seated. Make a joyful noise.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying to this, to his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, and he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him from before. His translation he had, his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarded for them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the savings of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang ever even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the star of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of this country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that an Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departed children of Israel, and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, with the Egyptians the same to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, Quench the fountains of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Watch valiant in fight, turn to flight, and armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain, the sword that wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens, caves, and the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. But God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Amen.
Good chapter. Fifth chapter of the Bible. Lots of precious examples there, and maybe on a slighter note, it also contains the largest picnic that the world has ever seen. It says in verse number 12, it mentions, and as the sandwiches by the sea, seashore innumerable. Biggest picnic the world, sandwiches by the seashore. Perfect. Even as you were reading that, I was thinking, man, there's so many verses, so many sermons and things, and one of them just popped out to me, but that was, enjoy that. Faith, that's what it's all about. Good way to start the new year. Just want to take a moment or two. We don't have a new prayer list as yet, do we? Sure. Please do, if you get a chance. Do you guys want a prayer list?
I have two there for Pat and Steve, and I never heard about it.
With everything that was going on, I would like you to pray for Pat and Steve, especially Steve at this time. He is up in ICU in the hospital with heart issues along with a few other complications. He's not doing very well. He's doing better than he was. He's still not doing very well, so we would really appreciate your prayers for him and for the family at this time. His wife has been attempting to stay pretty much single-handed for the past, 4 or 5 years, ever since he broke his, arm in two places and dislocated his shoulder and his elbow. And that sort of knocked the wind out of him a bit. So please do pray for Pat. And Sam and Louise, that's his daughter and granddaughter. For Lorna, that would be Pat's daughter, and all of the grandchildren. They're just having a difficult time right now. You get a chance, you can drop Pat a text on Steve's phone. She's keeping them both in her handbag so that she can keep track of any family communications. It was always Steve's prayer that his estranged children, Andrea, Craig, and there's one more wee girl,
Claire.
Andrea, Craig, and Claire would get saved or would get back in touch and he could talk to them about the Lord. Please do pray that he gets that opportunity. And maybe we get that opportunity, but please do pray for Steve at this time. As far as everything else is going, there's not much has changed. I'm glad to see everybody's looking hale and hearty. Christmas dinners and Boxing Day dinners didn't do too much to affect us. I'm not going to a whole pile of announcements this morning. You know everything that's going on in the world. There's a lot of countries needing prayed for. Our own country needs prayed for. And Christians certainly need prayed for. I don't know if any of you have come across a news item where in England there was a woman standing, not outside an abortion clinic, but just standing. She wasn't holding a placard. She wasn't holding one of the things that we would hold if we were having the gospel outreach at the LGBT. Standing there quietly, and the police came up and asked her what she was doing. And she said, I might be praying quietly into myself, and they arrested her for that.
Mm.
And that fella, Enoch, down south, as far as I know, who refused to call a child by their preferred pronouns, I think he's still in jail for contempt of court. But please do pray for that. That is the start. That is how it creeps in. And that is why the Bible says, it would be easy if we could grab these people and just come off the side of their head with the palm of our hand and they saw sense. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in this present world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. This war will be fought on our hands and knees in prayer and in the company of God, and then walk on tall as a Christian. So just pray for the country, pray for our leaders, pray for each other most certainly, and if you ever feel the need to pray and you can't think of anything to pray, you can pray for me. I am almost certainly in need of it, I guarantee you. But we live in interesting times. We might not even finish the service, we could be ending up in heaven. So, if the way things are going, the Lord could be back for us just like that. Things are that bad. But in the meantime, just keep being a good Christian. A good child of the King of Kings. It's good to see you. I'm praying for a good new year as much as we get of it, and the year after that. And there's a lot to do. There's certainly a lot to do. Yeah. Well, would you mind praying for us, and then we'll sing another song.
Father, thank you this day, Lord. I thank you for ushering in a new year, Lord. May be Christ enter the feet of us and our families, Lord. Lord, may we draw us closer to thee and to thy Son, Heavenly Father, Lord. Give us this day, Lord, and this year, Lord. And may we be closed in with you, Lord. With absent friends and brothers and sisters, Lord, in Christ, Lord, wherever they may be, with Pat and Steve especially, Lord, help them and help Steve especially, help him his distress, his weakness and his illness, Lord, that you may it will be done, Lord, that you may heal him mightily and powerfully, Lord, and help him, and help also give Pat strength, more strength, Lord, to handle Steve's condition, Lord, as well, Lord, and give him grace as well, Lord. Indeed, give us all grace and more abounding in our lives, Lord. We praise him, praise thee, great and holy name, Lord. But if the church is right to stand, Lord, Lord, use him, use his spirit to and the minds and the speech of the ministers, Lord, are preaching Christ crucified, Christ ordained truly in the service, Lord, may reach out and convict the lost, Lord, save the lost and save souls mightily and powerfully, Lord, and restore the backsliders as well, Lord. Give us this day, Lord, give us to give Marcus from the deliver the gospel, Lord, and may you give us a word in season, Lord, and use in our lives, Lord, may we rest by your love, Lord. And thanks for your son dying on the cross for us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And may we be able to forefront of our lives, Lord. Grow us in tears, Lord, and pray for us. And my favorite good thing, may we worship on our praises and our songs, Lord, be accepted in your sight for Jesus Christ again, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our little hymn books again, if you would, and turn to number 4. Number 4 in the little black hymn books. Number 4 is Holy, Holy, Holy. We'll remain seated as we sing. And number 4.
Amen.
Bible. So if you'd like to go forward to number 13, I think that was one of our picks from this morning. Number 13, if you're able, let's stand as we sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Good old hymn. One that I have found out it was a favourite with many people, and we read that Burnett, just before she went to heaven, she loved to hear Psalm 1, and she would repeat it as I read it, and many people found the Psalms very, very comforting, and I thought we would start with this Psalm 1, maybe Psalm 2, but most importantly Psalm 1. Title for the message this morning is "Blessed are they, dot dot dot." Blessed are they, dot dot dot. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We'll stop there. I love to read Psalm 2 along with Psalm 1, but we want to think upon or concentrate on the subject of blessed are they, .. And there's quite a few of those .. And in the Bible, and I've got a few of them down for us this morning. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the service this morning so far, for those good old hymns, for the strength and the voice to lift them up, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for his conviction in years gone by and a good sense to listen to. Thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for your much provision, for making good on so many of your promises. And Lord, we just thank you for loving us. Please bless this time around your word. Lord, wherever it's being preached in the world, the full counsel of it, I pray that you would bless it to the preacher and to the hearer. Lord, we really do need you. Pray you'd be one of our number again, that you would just spend your time in the hall, just walking round, Lord, just putting an arm around us, putting an arm under us, Lord, just comforting us, provisioning us, reasoning with us, Lord, giving us portions of wisdom. Leave it all at your feet, Lord, and pray that you would provide our daily bread this day. Love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, normally I come with two copies of the message. I normally give one to Lynn. I keep one for myself. But I was just thinking, as I have quite a few Bible verses this morning that I would like to bring you, that just in case you want a copy of all of the verses that I have read, you can have mine and the spare. So if anybody wants one, I'll leave them at the front. Come and get them. Or you can take your Bible program on your phone and you can type, "Blessed are they." And you will find a lot of those verses. If you even just type, "Blessed," you'll find even more. I know we're sitting, I was going to say, in the aftermath, in the anticlimax of Christmas, with things that have been happening around the church, it has sort of taken a wee bit of a gilt edge off of Christmas with Brother Steve being sick in one thing and another. But I'm glad to be looking at another year. I enjoyed Christmas fellowship, seeing family and friends, having them for lunch, not in the cannibalistic sense of the word, but in the fellowship sense of the word. And I enjoyed taking a couple of days in front of the fire and just a walk up and down the lane and just not doing very much of anything but being thankful for all that I have. I know in dark days, in wartime, especially in spiritual wartime, it can be very easy to get involved in nothing but cracking the whip as far as a Christian goes. We need to be better Christians. And we do need to be better Christians. There's certainly no doubt about that. As long as we are standing here in these sinful, sin-cursed bodies, there's always room for improvement. We need to give more. We certainly do, because there's so much needs to be done. We need to go more. And we do, because more people than ever are lost and have never heard of the gospel. We need to be better spouses. We need to be a better citizen. We need to read the Bible more. We need to pray more. There's no doubt about all of that. We can certainly do with the reminding. But in the wake of Christmas, when so many people have received so much, in this country at least, and we're a weekend, and I am sure that some of those gifts and toys and things that people have received have gone into a drawer, onto a shelf, and they'll never be looked at until someone is looking to re-gift it or to pass it on to somebody else and hope they maybe get a good turn out of it. The how would you put it? The new car smell is gone off of it. Or the new book smell. Did you ever open a new book and you smell the fresh print? That's gone. The novelty's gone. The joy, the anticipation of getting this thing is gone. The promise that it had is gone. I wanted to think upon the blessings. Not just that God gives to us, but that we can be to God as well. I have over a page, an A4 page, a 12-point print of blessings. And I would like to read these to you. It's not an exhaustive list. There are so many helps and promises in the Bible for us as Christians. This is just like a reminder. Because it's easy whenever you get busy to forget a lot of things. I know God has promised, and he makes many promises to remind us of the things that we need whenever we need them, or to draw them to our attention. But it doesn't hurt to hear them again. And the Bible also says to me that if I put people in remembrance of these things, I'll be a good preacher of God's word, and I want to be a good preacher. The next portion of God's word, if I said to you, can you think of a portion of God's word that says blessed a whole lot, you might speak to me of the Beatitudes. And in Matthew chapter 5, I'm just going to read, if you want to follow along, you can. If you just want to listen, that's good too. In Matthew chapter 5, that's why I brought the extras. You can have these and have a wee look at them for yourself. Just stick them in your Bible and look at them later. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the weak, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And the Beatitudes are wonderful. A lot of people think, however, if they put themselves in the path of trouble or hard times, that they'll be blessed. It doesn't mean that. This is talking about Bible, but this is talking about Christians and how you are blessed when difficult times come upon you. Not because it's a difficult time, but because you have a great God that can put his arm around you and comfort you, or his arm under you and support you, or his hand in your ear and chasing you and pointing in the right direction. We have that. We are blessed because we're saved, and God's helps are ours. So going back to the Psalms a second here. Here's one. I've got a handful here. I'm not reading whole chunks of Psalms, but verses in Psalm 2 and 12, just at the end, tail end. It says, kiss the Son when he is angry, and you perish from the way when his anger is kindled but a little. And it says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Why would you trust someone that was going to give you a thick ear, except the fact that you know before they give you the thick ear, they were there comforting you, they were saving your soul, they were giving you wisdom, and the thick ear was to teach you a lesson. Your mummies and daddies did it for you, and I pray that you respect them and love them for pointing in the right direction. God is indifferent. Psalm 84, verse 4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. In other words, it's good to be out in the house of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. That was Psalm 84, verse 5. Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Stay with the book and keep doing the right thing. Psalm 115, verse 15. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Talking about those that trust in God. Psalm 119, verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they which keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. Proverbs 8 and 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, For blessed are they that keep my ways. That's God talking through Saul. Proverbs 20 and 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. It's not just you that is blessed whenever you do what God asks you to do, but your children too. And any good mom or dad, any good parent wants their children to do well. In Isaiah 30, the word of God says in verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." And for by even, and that's pretty much my Old Testament reading. In Isaiah 40 and 31, it tells us, the word blessed isn't in there, but it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint." I think it's 2 Samuel 20 talks about the Lord teaching my hands to make war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. That he set, make my feet like hinds' feet, and set me upon my high places. Those are blessings as well. This is for the sake of the title, "Blessed are they that I have blessed." But we need to. These are the things that God will do for us, literally, when we turn up. We do get a participation award for being a Christian. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, when a woman stood up in the service and said, "Blessed are the paps which gave thee suck." In other words, your mum was a wonderful woman for raising you up. You know what Jesus said? "Rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." In Luke chapter 12 and verse 37, "Blessed are those servants," this is you and me, folks, "whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Can you even imagine God saying, "Take a seat," and putting down that big joint of lamb or ham or beef or whatever at the marriage supper of the Lamb and saying, "You did a good job. Let me do something for you." And he's done so much for us already. The next verse says, "And if he shall come to the second watch or come in the third and find them so, blessed are those servants." That's cool. Just gotta keep on keeping on. Now, I like the verses that deal with salvation, especially in Romans chapter 4, where it talks about the psalmist David. And it says, "Even as David describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works." In other words, the free gift of eternal life. You're blessed. If you get that, we just don't know how blessed. Saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." That's you, friend, if you're saved. And 1 John, it says, we literally cannot sin anymore. And that doesn't mean we can do whatever we like, but our sins are paid for. In the book of James, this is a wee memory chapter that I'm doing right now. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them of love." In verse number 25, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed." And we're on to Revelation for the sake of time, where it talks about the whole book of Revelation, the first chapter. This is what it says. And an answer to every denomination that would say, "You shouldn't read the book of Revelation, it'll send you mad. I had a Catholic person tell me that it was the Protestant church that invented it, and I had a Protestant person tell me it was the Catholic church that invented it. It's God that invented it. And he says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There are three more from the book of Revelation. Revelation 14 and 13. You know it's getting a bit serious in Revelation's quoted. This is John. And John said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 19. This is what God said to John. Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God. And the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city. Those are powerful promises from God. And therefore, every single believer on the face of this world, and to every soul that would just admit to God that they're sorry for their sins and ask him to save them, they're for anybody. You literally, if you turn up to do God's will, God will bless you. I got to thinking about that because I can understand. As a little child, if you bless a child at Christmas, what's the first thing in their head? Train set, phone, pocket knife if it was me, new pen, gadget, power tool. We all have our own, as my mother used to say, we all have our own kite to fly or our own way of going mad. And maybe think, oh great, I'm going to get something. This will be so wonderful. I'll be so uplifted. The rest of my life will seem like it's perfect for at least a few days. And that's the way a little child thinks of a blessing. Of something that they get that is going to make them happy. It's going to put a wee smile on their face. That is going to, or maybe as we get older, something that we can use that will make life easier or replace a broken one or an old worn out one. And I'm not just speaking about phones. That's the way we think of blessings, because most times we're receiving the blessings, and that's what we envision. I try to consider them. What? How could we be a blessing to God? How could we bless God? And I had to actually think about my dad. My dad's 90 years old. He was actually saying, with all this is going on, he came up over Christmas. He still wants to help. And we put up a few sheets of plasterboard there just before Christmas. Nothing would do him, but he would help me. I actually kept the job until Christmas. Because some of the sheets were about 8 foot long, and I couldn't manage them all all by myself. And with Steve taking a wee turn for the worse and going into hospital, I had planned to put Lyme down. And he said, I said to him, Dad, we're going to have to knock our plans in the head because I have to go and tend to Steve and tend to Pat. And I said, Dad, you go home, Thursday this was. And I reckon if I had said, come back up on Friday, he would have lifted his tablets and drove. He would have, because he said, don't be putting that lino down until I come back. He wants to get one of the things that my dad and how we could be a blessing to him, he actually told me years ago, wash the dishes the way I would like them washed. I used to think, what? I was about that high. Wash the dishes the way I would like them washed. And so we would wash them. He said, how's that? He says, look. And he would lift the draining board up And he would wipe the water off the draining area into the sink. And then he would say, look in the sink. And there'd be wee bits of meat and wee bits of potato and a carrot or a bit like this. The next thing you do is rinse that all into the catcher, the wee plastic doodad, and then lift that and throw it into the bin. And as far as washing dishes go, I married my dad. Because Monica likes them done exactly. It doesn't bother me, that stuff. I'm not going to die if there's stuff left in the sink. And I'll not die if there's a water stain on the stainless steel. It's called stainless steel for a reason. I'm not going to die. But my dad said, that's the way I like it, and I will be pleased if you do it that way. And then he used to say, cut the grass the way I like it. And then he would say, back whenever you used to have to paint the windows the way I like it. The wood, not the glass. And do it the way I would like it. That will make me happy. And we have our ways of doing things, and we teach our children the ways of doing things that are going to be a help to them, that they will be able to use as the years go on. And what's a real blessing to my dad is coming in and watching us wash the dishes, me wash the dishes, and my wife obviously, and wipe the water in and lift the stuff out of the sink and rinse the suds down the sink. It's doing things the way they want us to do them. Is going on in the way that they have laid down, because they have proved those paths to work. And it will be a blessing to them. And it's like you saying to your parent, to your mentor, to your spouse, to whomever, your way was right. And I am going to keep doing it your way. Because whenever you're a little child, you can't reach into your wallet and say, Dad, here's £1,000. Don't do that. All that you have is what you do. And if you want to be a blessing to God, do things the way that He wants them done. Please God. That is you being a blessing to God. That is you saying, do you know what, God? I have tried it my way. I am going to do it your way. And God is pleased with that. God is, my dad used to say when I went away to school in Belfast, give your mother a ring on Wednesday evening in the middle of the week. That was when you had to put money on phones. And I have like 1 10p. And to save us the money as students, I would ring 3 times and hang up the phone. And about 10 seconds later, the phone would ring and my mum and dad rang me back. And mum just loved to hear from her children. And then when my sister went to university, she did the same. Whenever my 2 brothers went to university, they did the same. And that pleased my dad. It was a blessing to my mother and father because I did it the way he wanted it done. God has heaped so much on us. So much. If you even think for a moment, we can forgive because we have been forgiven. Isn't that right? When you have been forgiven all that you have done, and someone cuts you up on the road, or someone says something or does something to you, we can forgive them. We can have mercy on people. Because let's be honest, God has shown a tremendous amount of mercy to us. We can be comforted in the direst of situations in this world because, let's be honest, we're not stopping here. Our home is heaven. And that is, as anybody that takes anything away from you here, it's not going to stop you. It might teach you a life lesson or two, but we have the promise of heaven. We are blessed in prophecy. That was the one thing that was like a turning point for me. Because as a child, I was always interested in horoscopes, and that drew me down a very dark path because I wanted to know the future. I didn't know there was a book sitting on the shelf with all the books. Quite literally, was telling me all that was going to happen, and I'll tell you something else. If I had known in my lifetime that so much biblical prophecy would come to pass, I would have saved myself about 10 or 15 years as a lost man. I would have. We can suffer loss because we've been given so much. We can be satisfied with very little because it's the Word of God, believe it or not, that makes the biggest difference in your life. It's not getting stuff. I think the Lord said in Luke chapter 12, was it Luke chapter 12, 15? I think it was that. He said, look, just mind yourself and don't get caught up. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And if you look at some of the folks that have yachts and planes, and look at Mr. Putin. Did he not take possession of like a $120 million yacht there not that long ago? And he's still a lost man on his way to hell, and he's fighting tooth and nail for every bit of press that goes out and for every inch of land that he's trying to take in Ukraine and all that carry on. They're not happy. They're not saved, and they're certainly not going to heaven. They're trusting in the wrong God. We can be satisfied knowing that we have served the King of Kings. That's all that you need to make sure of. And everything else is greater. We can be blessed because we don't have to indulge our sin anymore or hang around with lost folks. We can hang around with God at any time of the day or night. Has anyone here ever had the company of somebody very, very, very important? Someone high up in government, somewhere in royalty. Anybody? The closest I came was about from here to my wife, I think it was to Margaret Thatcher. Was it Margaret Thatcher did a tour in Desmond's about 30 years ago? And I'm going to tell you something, it didn't just happen like that. She didn't just say, Dennis, we're going to Derry. She didn't say that. That's not the way it works. There were police who did a bomb sweep. I remember one of their dogs eating an apple out of a woman's purse in the office next door. I thought, yeah, I know how to stop all the dogs. And here's a sign. If I had really wanted Margaret Thatcher dead, I would have come in and just put explosives all around the door frame and gone like that when she walks through it. The things you do, you, as a computer programmer, looking for solutions for everything. That was organized on their end months in advance. And it was organized on our end a few days in advance. There were police checkpoints. It didn't just happen by accident. Lots of meticulous planning. And it would be the same for the President of the United States. It would be the same for for Putin, for Slavinsky, for Xi Jinping, for Jacinda Ardern, for Macron, for any world leader. You know what God says? Any time you feel like talking, you just come right ahead. He said you can enter into the holiest boldly. Like, God, by the way, literally you can. He's your dad. He's your heavenly father. He's not your mate. He's not your wingman. He is your heavenly father. And you can cry, Dad, to him, Abba, Father. That's how much God loves you. You know what Jesus even said? Trying to give the scribes and the Pharisees an example of how much God loved people. He said to them, you guys are dads, aren't you? Whenever your kid asks you for a fish, you don't wrap up a snake and say, there's a snake. I know there's some people that might do that just to see their children hop, skip and jump. Or if they ask you for an egg, you don't give them a scorpion, do you? Or if they want some bread, you don't give them a stone, do you? And you can almost imagine them saying, of course not, we love them. And then the Lord said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more do you think your Father in heaven wants to give good gifts to his children? God has so much for us. strength, provision, comfort, wisdom, the right words to say at any given time. God has that for us. And I know people say there is a downside to being a Christian. I've yet to find it, but there is a downside, they'll say. If we start being Christian, and I had a guy say this to me down in Nelson Drive. Talked to him about God and how he came to give his life on the cross. And all the wonderful promises that are literally open waiting for us to take them on. If I get saved, I would have to give up drinking. He just said to him, if you really got saved, you wouldn't want to drink. You wouldn't want to let God down. You would want to be a blessing to God. If I get saved, I'll not be able to do drugs anymore. The Bible says you can lie, cheat, and steal. You can kill. You can sleep around the country. You can do anything you want as a saved soul, and you'll still go to heaven. Because once you're saved, God keeps you in the palm of his hand, and no man, not even our own stupid selves, can pluck us out. The thing is, that's a technicality. You'll not want to. You shouldn't want to. And anyway, if you stop and think about all of the things that people say, if I start to follow God, I'll not be able to do X, Y, and Z. Hand and heart, you will probably find those in a list of dangerous things you shouldn't be doing. Sleeping around the pump. You can pick something up that an injection won't cure. You can be the father of a host of illegitimate children or the mother of an unwanted baby. And what is that going to do? What sort of start in life is that for any child? Unwanted. Used to be LSD, I think, back in the 60s and 70s, used to be the big thing. That can blow out your nervous system. And then it was ecstasy. I don't know if you remember the awful story of my beautiful little daughter who only tried ecstasy once. That may or may not have been true. But she took a reaction to it. It blew out her liver. She never regained consciousness. All of her tissues and her organs started to fail and her body started to accumulate water. It got so bad, they explained that they had to cut her tip of her nose off and pull it down because the tissues were blocking her nose so they could get the tubes in for her to breathe. And she died eventually. Why would you want to do those things? Why would you want to literally open a vein and jump into shark-infested waters? Because I will guarantee you, Christian, if you take on the life of a sinner, the consequences of that sin will meet you in this life. Why would you want to do those things? As a very young Christian, I thought back to my life as I worked in the hotel. And I thought about the amount of money. People, you know, what do they always say? They're only after your money in the church. We're not. But until you find a way to fry it and turn it into fried eggs or turn fresh air into electricity and cornflakes, I can still be doing with some money every week to buy groceries. You know the score. God only asks for a tenth and he always finds a way to make the other 90% stretch. I'm going to tell you. My wife went in to buy groceries and there was a powerful deal on lamb up in Tesco's. I take it everybody heard about that. It was half price for all. No. I do. Good biblical meat there. She went up to the till and the woman at the till said, "Are you a member of staff?" My wife says, "No, I'm not." She says, "Well, there's 20% off your bill. It's a staff discount." She was stocking up on lamb and spent another 30 or 40 pounds on groceries. And it was Christmas shop. So we're good for months now. For she got 20 quid off. God will find a way. As you honour him, as you be a blessing to him, as you, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, as you purge yourself from sin and make yourself a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master of Jews. Probably. Most times you end up blessing yourself. You end up putting yourself in a better position. But God will supernaturally, spiritually help and bless you. As a point of, or maybe as a technical point, some people would maybe say, well, what can I and can't I do? The rule of thumb is, if you can talk about it openly in church, you can probably do it. If you can talk to God about it in prayer, and he says that, and you know, and it's not about God, should I or shouldn't I, but God, I'm going out to do this, and you feel no qualm or pang of conscience or anything like that, you can talk to God about it. That's a good sign. But if you're embarrassed or shy about talking to God about a certain subject, it's probably something that needs addressing in your life. I'm going to stop with one wee thing. I hope you haven't lost sight of the fact that God doesn't stop giving to us at Christmas. It can be every day of your life. His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. He just keeps, he keeps giving, because let's be honest, we really need it. This world is full of snares and traps and pitfalls. But God, with all of his helps and blessings, and steering us away and maybe around certain things, he gives us caterpillar tracks. And he gives us a map to the minefield that this life is. And just in case he ever does ask you to give something up, just in case you find any of your activities at odds with your Christian life, I want for you to remember this one thing. We haven't changed then. And back in the day, the disciples said the same thing. He said, God, we've given up a lot for you, they said to Jesus. And Jesus said, look, there is no man, no person in this world that has given up lands, houses, family, friends, hobbies, whatever it is, but God will not, in this present time, have something in its place, it's 100 times better. That is the promise of God. All we've got to do, say, do you remember that promise? I am going to do my best to keep you to that promise, Lord, but you help me. May even help you keep it. Because God wants us. And he wants the best for us. Next week might not be so easy going. It might not put so many smiles in your face, but just remember, just because we're speaking about one topic one week and a different topic next week, doesn't mean the previous week's topic, its blessings, its promises, its prophecies, doesn't mean that it's not like a special offer in Tesco's. It doesn't mean they've run out. They're still there for us. They're still there. Thank you for your good time. I'm going to stop there. Appreciate your attention this morning. God bless you. I'm going to leave those there. Just if you want to take one of those home, just have a look for yourself, or just put the research in. Bless them. Just keep reading the Bible, and God will show you His many promises and helps for you. Amen. Right. I think we have one song left to sing. I can find it there. Is that out there?
31.
Pardon?
I think it's
31. 31 was it? There it is. Let's stand as we sing the King of Love, my shepherd is. Hymn number 31 of the Green Black Books. Let's make a joyful noise.
Yeah.
prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this time around your word in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and the precious promise of it. I pray you, Lord, as we head off into 2023, that we would never forget that in your forest, who can be against us? That everything will work out for the best as long as we're saved and as long as we're doing what you tell us to do, as long as we're being a blessing to you. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us and for saving us. And for never leaving us and never forsaking us. And I pray, Lord, even in these dark days, for more to be saved and for more to walk more closely with. For those that are sick, Lord, I pray for healing. For those that are downcast, I pray for an uplifting. For those that are compromised, Lord, I pray for a repairing and a restoration. Lord, I'm looking forward to the day we see you face to face, Lord. And it sure couldn't come quick enough. Leave these things at your feet. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for that open invitation, Lord. We pray that you would see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. We love you and praise you. Amen. Just before we're dismissed, I just want to remind you that we have that there will be no service tonight, just in case folks were ending up being elsewhere for New Year's Day dinners and one thing and another. So next service will be on Wednesday evening. Look forward to seeing you then. God bless you. Folks are dismissed, and a happy new year once more to you all. God bless you.